Once again, I express my appreciation to each one of you who has honored us with your time this morning by tuning in to the Seeds of Truth. Your speaker is Robert Swain. How grateful I am to have you study the unsearchable riches of God's eternal Word. That is, what saith the Scriptures. And we hope and pray that you have your Bible before you with pen and paper to jot down the Scriptures, that you may give them more serious study. If you believe that I have misused or abused a passage, please call it to my attention. You would be my friend, for you see, we shall all stand before God one day in judgment as to how we have handled the Word of God, and we shall be judged by that Word, John 12:48. And I want to be right, don't you? For the past four lessons, we have been discussing the Holy Spirit. We have learned that the Holy Spirit is a person, that He is deity, that He has spoken to man, giving mankind the Word of God, and that Word is now recorded in the book we call the Bible. We also have learned that we are led by the Spirit when we follow the teachings which the Spirit has revealed. We saw that the Holy Spirit dwells in us exactly as God the Father and Christ the Son dwell in us, and that is by and through the teachings, the message of the Holy Spirit. We learned that at least on two occasions, the miraculous aspect of the Holy Spirit was received by those who had obeyed the gospel through the laying on of the apostles' hands, those being in Acts 8:17 and Acts 19:6. And you will notice in both of these cases that they became children of God by obeying the gospel, and then the ability to speak in tongues was bestowed upon them through the laying on of the apostles' hands. They were not told to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon them that they might speak in tongues. And as we closed last week, we made the observation that we would inquire as to whether or not the miraculous aspect of the gifts of the Holy Spirit were still active in our lifetime. In other words, does the Holy Spirit perform miracles today? Are the miraculous gifts of the Spirit being given unto mankind today in our generation? Do men speak in tongues like the early disciples did in the first century? Do they have the ability to perform healing miracles? Do they have the power to raise the dead? Do they have the gifts of the Spirit like those early disciples had? It is my prayer that each listener will study with me with a desire to find out what God's Word says on this important subject. Have an open heart. May we allow God's Word be the authority, the determining factor, and it should not be our inner feelings, nor our emotions, nor our longings that answers the question. It should not be even what your speaker thinks on the matter. It must be what saith the Scriptures. First, let's identify what we mean by a miracle. By definition, a miracle is an act of God superseding or suspending a natural law. And I'm not talking about divine providence or God working in the lives of mankind. I wholeheartedly believe that God is still present and active in the lives of His people. But what I'm discussing are divine miracles still being performed. By miracles, I mean turning water into wine, walking upon water, raising the dead, being bitten by a poisonous serpent without any ill effect, speaking in a language one doesn't know nor has studied, preaching by direct inspiration. These are but a few of the miracles recorded in the Bible, events that actually happened. Question, why were these miracles performed? Well, John tells us. Take a look at John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, where he says, many other signs therefore did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but those are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life in His name. John, why were signs, miracles performed? To convince mankind that Jesus was and is the Son of God. Did you see that? He indeed is the Son of God. Signs and miracles attested to this fact. He was finally raised from the dead, another miracle, to die no more, but to ascend into heaven, where he now rules at the right hand of the Father. And I wish to emphasize a point just here, and I want you to hear me well. There was never a miracle performed simply for the purpose of helping those who received the miracle. Jesus did not heal a person just to make them well. Jesus did not feed the multitude just to satisfy their hunger. Jesus did not raise Lazarus simply to remove the anguish of his sisters. Oh, no. All of these were performed to prove that he indeed is the Son of God. Did those upon whom miracles were performed benefit from the miracle? Of course they did. But that was not the reason for the miracle. They were done to convince mankind of his divine sonship, and they still confirm the same truth today. How do we know that Jesus is God's Son? How do we know that Jesus is the Christ? By the signs and miracles which he performed. And these signs are recorded upon the pages of God's book, the New Testament. Remember, we were told by John that these signs have been written that we might believe. Signs, miracles, were to convince the unbeliever, the untaught, not to cause a reaction to a believer. Miracles were never performed as a proof of salvation. And many in the religious world today who claim to be able to perform miracles have this process in exactly the reverse order. In the early church, the disciples demonstrated that they came from God by the miracles which they performed. Listen to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Get out your Bibles. Follow along. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by manifold powers, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Miracles were for the purpose of convincing the unbeliever that God was working and speaking through those performing the miracle. If God is working through the speaker, then surely you should listen and heed the message of the speaker. Such is not the purpose of those who claim miraculous powers today. The Word of God has been confirmed a long time ago. It doesn't need some sign to verify it. It remains God's Word. Christ remains God's Son. Both of these facts were confirmed or proven by signs and miracles. When God's Word was completed and written down, the need for a confirmation was no longer there. To verify these remarks, I want you to turn to Paul's message in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But first, let's notice some things in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul discusses the diversities or the various kinds of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, time doesn't permit me to go into a verse-by-verse study, but the great apostle is seeking to correct some abuses of those gifts in Corinth. Now, some of the disciples had been given various gifts, 9 in number, but some of them were abusing and misusing these gifts, but Paul sets forth to correct them. Now, you'll notice that the various gifts were given to various members. To one was given the word of wisdom, to another the gift of healing, to another the gift of miracles. Now, you need to read verses 4 through 11 of chapter 12 to see this. And all didn't speak with tongues, and all didn't work miracles, and all didn't interpret. And you can find that in verses 28 through 30. He then states that he was going to show them a most excellent way. So chapter 13 discusses the attributes of love. And in verses 8 through 13, he states, love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Now did you hear the apostle say that something was to cease, to be done away? What was to be done away? What was deceased? The gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of knowledge. When were these to cease, to be done away, when that which is perfect has come? Now, to what does the apostle refer when he speaks of that which is perfect? Now, my friend, Jesus the Christ was never nor ever shall be referred to as a that. Paul is not discussing the second coming of Christ. He is discussing the completed revelation of God's book, the Bible. You see, when the complete revelation was given and man had access to it, there would no longer be a need for prophecy, for tongues, for knowledge. Let me hasten to point out that the knowledge in this verse refers to the miraculous gift of the Spirit. Reread, if you will, 1 Corinthians 12 and 8 for that understanding. He's not discussing knowledge like all men have. If that is what he is discussing, and he is foretelling the second coming of the Lord, then we would all be a bunch of ignoramuses in God's presence when he comes again. Why? Because Paul says that when that which is perfect has come, knowledge would be done away. Now that just doesn't make any sense to me. Does it to you? What Paul is saying is that when the completed perfect revelation of God's word was finished, there would no longer be a need for prophecy, for tongues, or for knowledge. God's word would no longer need signs and miracles to prove it to be the word of God. Now, do you, my dear friend, believe the Bible to be the word of God? If so, why do you believe it? Your answer is no doubt it's been proven to be the word of God by the signs and miracles of the apostles and others in the first century. And I'll readily agree with you. I don't need to see a miracle to believe in God's revealed word. Christ and the apostles proved that fact, and I believe it. You'll notice also in 1 Corinthians 13 that Paul said there was something partial and there was something perfect or complete. To what does he refer as being partial? Those gifts listed in chapter 12. The church was in its infantile state. It had just begun. These gifts were given to assist the early Christians to be able to convince the world that their message did indeed come from God. Today, we have that complete, perfect testimony, God's Word, written for us to use to convince the world of the need for salvation in Christ. To it we appeal. James refers to God's Word as the perfect law of liberty in James 1 and 25. And tells us that we must be doers of that perfect message. And so man has all that he or she needs to become the child of God and to live a life that is pleasing unto God. Speaking in tongues is not needed to teach anyone what to do to become a Christian. Speaking in tongues was needed in the first century because they did not have the written word. The message was transmitted through the disciples. And when they traveled about from country to country, it would be necessary for them to speak in the language of the people to whom they were presenting the message. Remember, when the apostles spoke in tongues in Acts 2, their audience understood them. They said, "And how hear we, every man in our own language wherein we were born," Acts 2 and 8. And then in verse 11, it says, "We hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God." And so Paul states, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to the unbelieving," 1 Corinthians 14 and 22. You see, those who claim to speak in tongues have that thing reversed. They claim that tongues are a sign of discipleship. Paul said tongues were to convince the unbeliever. But now I see our time is gone, and I want to continue this next week. The Rivermont Church of Christ meets at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester at 10 and 11 on Sunday morning and at 6 Sunday evening and at 7:30 on Wednesday evening. Come and worship with us. If you would like a tape of this lesson or if you would be interested in a Bible correspondence course, please call us at 530-1764. And until next week, then, I bid you good morning.